This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Sherm Radio. My name is Rakesh Sharma. Let me pose you a question. If you are a leader in an organization, would you consider yourself an M, a T, a Pi, an I, or an E? That sounds like grades in a weird grading system, but those words actually mean something, especially in the world of leadership. These are all types of leaders based on the kind of expertise they have. Each one talks about expertise, the depth of it, the fields in which you have expertise, and how they all contribute to you becoming a certain type of leader. Broadly put, on Sherm Radio, we are talking about different kinds of leaders, whether they are generalists or they are specialists, and what the trends have been over the past few years as to who is preferred in C-suite, certainly for CEO roles and even certain HR roles within an organization. So on our quick discussion today, we'll be talking about the generalist versus the specialist, and I'll be joined later by Sheetal Iyer, who not only runs an organization herself, but has also interviewed in depth some of the best known leaders of India Inc. over the past two decades. What have her experiences been with leaders of these differing letter shapes? We'll find out all of that and more on this episode of Sherm Radio.
You are listening to Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Edward P. Lazier, who is a labor economist at the Stanford Graduate School of Business, was researching the very question that we are talking about today. Who is likely to land a C-level job? Is it going to be generalists or is it going to be specialists? He said, and I quote, "The higher you get in an organization, the more likely you are to encounter problems from a variety of different areas. And because CEOs in particular encounter so many different kinds of issues, that those people have to be generalists." In fact, it was largely Professor Lazier's work that sort of established this norm, at least in the past few years, in the past couple of decades at least, that generalists are the more preferred of the lot. In fact, it was the sort of feeling that was shared by a lot of people. Professor Morris Arnold Cox of the Hoover Institution had once said, "A good CEO is someone who is very good, possibly not excellent, but very good at almost everything." And these schools of thought sort of established the preference of the generalist over the specialist, certainly in the beginning of the 21st century, or at least towards the late 1990s. Professor Lazier of Stanford even went on to conduct a survey of 12,500 GSB alumni. Respondents who have had two or fewer roles had only a 2% chance of eventually becoming a C-level leader, while those who had held at least five positions had an 18% chance of reaching the top. So it became almost established truth, if you will, that generalists were the preferred lot. But of course, that assessment has also changed over time. In fact, as recently as about 3 years ago, they came out a paper which wanted to examine that very question. Sure, generalists are preferred, they even get a significant pay premium, but how does hiring generalists impact company performance? One paper that came out in 2016 had some disheartening news to offer. It went on to say that generalist CEOs are certainly highly sought after and they even get a pay premium, but a significant body of work in this area has not focused on the most desired outcome of higher pay, which is, of course, firm performance. If there's an economic rationale for leveraging the diverse abilities of the so-called generalist CEOs, then the economic rationale must also extend to the fact that there ought to be higher pay for performance sensitivity. But the results of one particular study that came out in 2016 went on to show, in fact, a negative association between more general CEO experience and firm performance, although longer tenure of this particular CEO staying in this particular company had the potential to limit further declines. But the results had therefore suggested that there may be an irrational exuberance about hiring CEOs with more general experiences. However, the economic returns from such exuberance, the study found, were negative in the short run and neutral at best in the long term. These fairly conflicting schools of thought aside, is there any real merit at all in hiring people, not just at the C-suite level, but also just employee level? Is there any merit at all in hiring people who have more than one expertise? Well, for one, it depends on the kind of company you are and the kind of work you expect from your employees. At the very highest level, which is the C-suite, the consensus still appears to be that yes, it is probably better to have somebody who is an M-shaped leader or a pie-shaped leader, or best of all, an E-shaped leader, which brings me to the very first point that I began with. What are these different shapes?
You are listening to Sham Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Now, let's start with the simple dash. These are generalists. They have a breadth of experience, but very little depth. It is what somebody would describe as a mile wide, but an inch deep. A generalist would be a great utility player, but would they be someone whom you would want as your MVP? Probably not. The I-shaped people, on the other hand, are specialists, somebody you would describe as an inch wide but a mile deep. Their area of specialization is just one, but they're the best, the cat's whiskers and the dog's pajamas when it comes to that particular subject. I-shaped leaders and employees, research has gone on to suggest, might have difficulty adapting or adding value to a team environment. In the case of I-shaped leaders, business tends to become siloized with very little communication simply because their expertise does not extend to it, so there is a risk of not really paying attention to what else is happening in the group. So if you're a CEO, being I-shaped is probably not the best idea. For the longest time, T-shape was a favored one. T-shape was certainly a trend in HR, and if you thought it was a new trend, certainly not. It was described and discussed as early as 1991 by David Guest. T-shaped, of course, refers to an employee who has a thorough knowledge and strong skill set in one area, but can also work beyond it and can collaborate in numerous other disciplines or fields. Which brings me to the next shape that sort of became the talk of the town, as it were. That is, of course, M-shaped. They're called M-shaped because the two vertical bars represent the same concept as they do in T, which is the depth of expertise in two particular subjects or several different skill sets. When compared with T-shaped employees, M-shaped are equal or more knowledgeable in the skills expected of a T-shaped. These M-shaped employees tend to often be very high-performing, and their high performance can be in cross-functional teams. Related to T and M comes pi. Pi-shaped employees, the Greek letter pi, shaped employees are employees with a broad base with two expertise areas, which gives, of course, the shape of pi. There are several examples that you can think of. They're generally described as those people who have a great balance of left brain and right brain. But of course, some of those schools of thought are quite outdated, but I'm just trying to acquaint you with the terms that are out there in terms of letters and leaders. There are also objects in leaders. There's something called the comb-shaped leader, who has a rather generalist broad knowledge but not particularly deep expertise in several different specialities. Just think of a comb with its different teeth. Just think of a comb that does not have very deep teeth, which can work in some situations where a particular group of companies has various different undertakings and you might want someone who has a little more than basic knowledge of most of the undertakings, which is probably much better than somebody who doesn't know any at all. And then, of course, the buzzword these days is the E-shaped leader. E-shaped leader is somebody who carries experience with expertise. That is, of course, everybody looks for in a CV, experience and expertise. But these are also leaders who are able to explore a whole lot more and execute these new ideas better. So in this world of startups and new ideas, perhaps what we are really looking for is somebody who not only packs in experience and expertise, but also has an explorative mind and is able to execute those ideas efficiently. So let me add another E to it. Leonardo da Vinci could be thought of as somebody who was certainly not a leader, but it is the Renaissance man model of leaders that these days are coming into prominence.
You are listening to Sham Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Speaking of leaders coming into prominence, I'm going to be speaking to someone who has been speaking to leaders of prominence for a long, long time. As I promised you earlier, we have with me Sheetal Iyer, who is the co-founder and head of content of Timber Media, which is in the business of talking to leadership across the country and now even abroad. And Sheetal, who is joining me right now, tell me, we've been speaking about different kinds of leaders. What are the trends you've seen, so to speak, in your experience of having spoken to and seen leaders come and go in various different organizations in India Inc.
Hi Rakesh, thanks a ton for having me here on Sham Radio again. Always a delight. And yeah, you know, what you said about leaders is so true. You know, the last 6 months or so, I've been speaking to people across organizations, CXOs, and I'd be hard pressed to give you one example of someone who did not have an extracurricular interest or hobby that they sort of found time to revisit in the lockdown days. But even pre-pandemic, right, I've noticed that organizations really celebrate leaders who are multifaceted, who have have different, you know, interests and hobbies. And indeed, a lot of the work that we've done for corporates as an internal podcasting has really attempted to celebrate that aspect of the leader, his ability to have diverse interests, to have a bigger bird's eye view of what's happening in the organization. We're not just talking about business leaders or tech leaders. It's people who combine both these disciplines. That's the sort of thing that has been coming out in the podcast that we've done for India Inc. So yeah, your E-shaped, comb-shaped, you know, professional, I think that is really the way forward as well, because millennials clearly are looking to learn, and learning opportunities need not always, you know, come from another organization. Learning opportunities come from sometimes within the organization. And there was this very interesting LinkedIn report for the APAC region, if I'm not mistaken, and this one is titled Future of Recruiting. And it says that a significant number of companies in the APAC region have been focusing on reskilling and internal mobility in their talent acquisition strategy. The idea being that it's best to look at talent within the organization than actually seek it from elsewhere, especially in the context of the pandemic. So that's something interesting I came across in recent times. Yeah.
So you're saying lateral movement within the same company, or indeed at the same level, even if it is different sectors, is the sort of trend that we are seeing, at least among leadership. One thing we've been talking about is, of course, that you need to have different areas of expertise. So it's one thing to have deep roots in both the technical aspects of something and the managerial aspects of the business, but a whole other to also sort of nurture extracurricular interests. So my question to you really is two-pronged. How important do you think these extracurriculars, outside work interests, are for both employees as well as leaders? And what do you think, at least in your experience of having spoken to so many people, are the new requirements for new hires in India Inc.?
You know, Rakesh, at the level of the employee, one aspect of it is, of course, extracurricular interests. And I think I want to talk about this interesting project that we did for Accenture. I've always admired how they really encourage their employees to bring their whole selves to work. So they had this really cool talent spotlight kind of an event where they got people across the country, you know, send in their clips, their video clips of performances, singing, dancing, mimicry, you know, poetry, all of that. And then we actually put together sort of a video broadcast of these performances. We had judges coming in and rating them. So it was a fun event. And I think the organization did well to celebrate their employees' as extracurricular avatars, so to speak. But it's not just about extracurricular interests and hobbies like singing, dancing, art, etc. It's also in the area of skills that are kind of work-related, right? So I was speaking to a few people who were part of a hackathon, young professionals in an organization, and they had been recruited through this particular hackathon, which is quite popular in that world. And they said that, nowadays, even in the area of software programmers and tech, right, the idea is to not just be this master of one particular skill or language or discipline. The idea is to broad-base your skill set. And that is the opportunity that they found in this organization. So the hackathon really exposed them to a variety of programming techniques, tools, and languages. And that they thought was invaluable to them. So interests, not just in the extracurricular sense of the word, but also within the construct of work. That's what I think younger people are looking for.
You are listening to Sham Radio in partnership with Timber Media. Podcasters for India Inc.
Well, thank you, Sheetal, for those insights. We, of course, have spoken about the requirements of leaders as they used to be a long time ago and how they've evolved over time, and how there are studies that may give you pause about what we thought was established truth already. But the understanding, of course, remains that the more skilled you are, the more areas you gain expertise in, the more extracurricular interests you develop outside your work, it can only be of benefit to you. So in the ages-old debate of generalist versus specialist, there are several pros and several cons in both those ledgers. And of course, where and how the chips may fall depends very much on the company and the company's culture. But as far as you are concerned, the listener who may be wanting to rise to the upper echelons of management, it is probably a good idea to lay down your roots in one and hopefully two or maybe even more areas, and not just laying down your roots, but actually extending them in the e-format of actually trying to explore and execute some new ideas that you may have yourself. So considering the new world is not merely about what we already knew, but what we can end up doing. Thank you so much for joining us on Sham Radio. Until the next time, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, saying thank you for joining us, and stay with us because there are so many other interesting conversations to listen to right here on Sham Radio.
This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.